And so when there's a battle, there's usually a good reason for it. People battle because of something of value. People fight over something that they really do want. And the same is applicable in the spirit. So if you see a battle in your life, just know if the enemies come hard after you or at you in a particular area or areas of your life, know this, there is something of value there. There is something of value there. If the enemy has attacked you in a specific area, it means that there's something of value. So we don't want to be all fixated with the enemy. Hallelujah. We want to be fixated with eyes on Christ, but we also want to be smart. So when the enemy attacks and comes after your heart, know this, that there's something of value that you need to protect, and that's something that the Lord wants to do and birth in your life. So if you knew or you missed last week, we're doing a series on the fear of the Lord. And so it sounds like a bit of an intense topic, but it's beautiful. I'm just falling more in love with the Lord in these ways as I go through it. So there's a quick summary if you go to the second page. Thank you, Lord, for rain. Here's just a quick summary of what we did last week. The foundational scripture that I really grabbed hold of my heart was Isaiah 33 that says, "The fear of the Lord is His treasure." Again, we're talking about something of value. And so a treasure is what? Hidden. A treasure is not always easily found. And so a treasure is something we need to seek out. And if God in His Word says, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God is His treasure, I think we can take heed that that is really important to the Lord. And it's something that we can grow in. And then it's got many promises. I think I flagged some of it last week, and we're going to come back to it either next week or the time thereafter. But there is a bunch of amazing promises when you walk in the fear of the Lord. And that makes me quite excited. Things like a long life or the blessing of the next generation, a safe refuge for your children, to not only have a long life, but to have riches and honor, things that the world would love. But they just don't want the fear of the Lord part. Yet God says, if you come after me hard, if you come and you have this in your life and in your heart, guess what? I'm going to give you all this other stuff because I know your heart is after me. And so that's something that is challenging me. The definition, you can have a look there. It is to have reverence, to have awe. Ontzag, we said in Afrikaans. It is really to see God and behold. It's tough to worship if you don't see God. If there's a battle like we face tonight and somebody sings word, you can sing along, but this church is not a place where we want to whisper sweet nothings to God. We don't want to whisper sweet nothings to each other. The world is pretty good at that, and I'm not saying that in a judgmental way, but here we want to mean what we say. We want to mean what we worship. And so even in that, we need to bring back and say, Lord, if I'm struggling to see you, I'm going to struggle to worship you. If I don't have a revelation of you, it means there's not going to be much reverence of you. If God really pitches up, with all due respect, if He pitches up like a burning bush, guess what? All of us on our faces, boom, case closed. Petri kan stram soos die wil. Retief kan skree, hy kan sag praat. Nothing that man's going to add. If God pitches in all of His might and all of His holiness, we will firstly be a puff of smoke maybe, or if He's gracious, we'll be on our faces. If we behold Him in His entirety. And that is what we need to yearn for, is not to say, Lord, I want more of the fear of the Lord. Yes, want that, but want this first. Lord, I want to see you. I want to behold you. I want to find you in your word again. I want to find you. I want to taste you again. I want to see you, God, because then from that revelation, I cannot but have reverence and awe. I cannot but bow my knee. I cannot but shout of your love. I cannot but shout of your faithfulness. And that is what we are going after. We are mining for what is true and what is deep and what is His treasure. We said, what is it not? The fear is not the following. It's not demonic. It's not natural fear. It's not the fear of snakes, even though it's pretty real. It's not the fear of man that we'll share on next week. And it's not being casual with God. Yes, we are friends, but even friendship, if you look in Scripture, even friendship comes only after the fear of God. The fear of God, from that stems friendship with God. And then we said, how can we have this thing? Because everybody last week said, yes, I want the fear of the Lord. How can we get it? It's if we come with childlike hearts again, you see humility. Humility is a massive key to the fear of the Lord. And so what is needed is childlike hearts. And then the Lord said, I will teach you. So he's saying, Shofar Tableview, if you truly want this, I will teach you. I will teach you. And it's not only Sundays. It's definitely not only Wednesdays. But it's all through the week to say, Lord, teach me about the fear of the Lord. Lord, I want to see you. I want revelation so that I can walk in reverence and awe, so that we can grow in this intimacy, so that I can be the person who you called me to be. He said there, keep your tongue from evil. Be careful of your lips. Seek peace. Stay away from evil stuff. And then have an undivided heart. Sounds easy. Amen? Tonight we'll see there's help. Here's the thing. None of us are worthy. Man, I listened to something brilliant that John Anita sent on. And we just realized again, none of us are worthy. There's one that is worthy, and that is Jesus. So even in teaching on this matter, it is because of Christ that we can share this. Because He alone is worthy. We can so easily get this wrong impression of ourselves. We so easily fall into self-righteous traps or thinking that we've esteemed something. We've hit no markers. It is Christ that we look to. It is Christ that we yearn to become like. It is Christ that we want to proclaim. And it is Christ that we want to keep our focus on. On a lighter side, this guy, Lech Wałęsa, that is actually a Polish. You can't say that easy. You can go to the next slide. He said the following. I am a man of faith. I only fear God and my wife sometimes. Now, that's not scriptural, but it's kind of funny. It's kind of true, I guess. But he's a man of faith, and he says, I fear God alone. And so ultimately, we don't want to fear man. We want to fear the Lord. Here's the thing about this season and the series is, it's burning on our heart. I checked it with the elders, and many people said yes when I mentioned it one night at intercession, I think. But here's the thing is, this series and the topic and the info and the lowdown can fly you by very easily. You can sit here thinking, yeah, cool, go on with life, maybe miss another Sunday, and then come listen to the end of it, and then go on with life, and nothing changed in your life. Nothing changed. I'm just saying it in love. If you not take my word, if you take scripture, as I said, I've got 7 pages. I'm just meditating on them the whole time. And each time I'm like, whoa, can you imagine? I just meditate on these scriptures of the fear of the Lord. Not only the promises, but the tough stuff as well. If you take this and make this your own, it will change your life. If you make this your own, it will change your children's lives. Amen? Because I said to God, how? Again, it's caught, not taught per se, but Lord, how do we go over the line, the chicken line, the precipice, call it what you want. How do we go from, and I'm not saying nobody here is fearing God. You might be fearing God in a beautiful biblical way, but some of us lack that in certain areas of our life. Seriously, as Western Christians, we really, really miss the fear of God in a big way, I think. And I'll put myself in front of the queue. I do not mind. I need to wrestle out these things in my heart. Scripture needs to work my inside daily. But how do we get from this side to that side? I'm like, Lord, because nothing, I cannot push the fear of God upon you. I can teach 13 years on it straight. It does not, it is a heart's matter. It is a heart's matter. And I'm not saying it's a final answer. And I just, Lord, how am I going to get over the line? How do you get a person from not fearing God to really fearing God and having reverence for the Lord? And I just sense the Lord said to me, love. It's not what, because He gave us the law. He gave them lots of laws, and you can be stoned, you can be killed, you can suffer lots of stuff. But the law per se and more rules, if I just give you more rules, it's not going to make you fear God. It's not going to have you have reverence for the Lord. Somewhere here, the Lord needs to, if needed, I'm not saying again, everybody needs it. I need it. But somewhere, love needs to get hold of your heart. Love Himself needs to get hold of your heart again. I said to Mila, because I'm pretty stern at home now and again with the kids, and I'm a bit of a disciplinarian with them, so I would thought I know what her answer would be. I'm like, and I didn't want her to say yes, but I asked Mila, is she bang for Papa? Are you scared of that? If you don't know Mila, she's 4. She's kind of cute. You need to meet her if you're new. So please come again. She's 4, and I'm like, is she a bang for Papa? And she says, Papa, nie. I says, nie? I says, nie, she's simple. It's just like, Well, okay. Well, that's a good thing because I don't feel so bad about my disciplining style. But it's such a beautiful moment where I know I can see a reaction when I discipline her. But I believe there's also a matter of safety. And so it's a bit of a divine tension that it's the God on whose shoulders you may sit who is also a consuming fire that can kill you in an instant. It's like, oh, it's tough for my human side to grasp that, but he's so good. So yes, I fear him and actually bang me, if you kind of get the heart. But here's the thing, we need to make it our own. There's a beautiful definition. I'm not going to jump into it. We don't have too much time, so go and read it later on. I want to go into Scripture. So we know now that the Lord says, how do we have this fear of the Lord? He will teach us if we become like children. But then there's also certain conditions. Scripture is full of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 2 gives us conditions. We have also said that love is an ingredient. Revelation is an ingredient. Reverence and connection with Him is ingredients that can help this. Who, by the way, think that they grew in the fear of the Lord this week? Tangibly so. Anybody? Can you share on that in 1:13? Anybody feel comfortable? Come on. We want to make the word real. We want to live this stuff. We don't want to just blabber on about it and not change lives. How did you grow in the fear of God this week? Anybody? Humility. That's wow, that's beautiful. Albert had to show humility in a place where he thought he was the boss. He needed to take a humble approach. And so in that place, he was taught the fear of God. Anybody else? We just want to make it practical. Yuan. Amen. Yuan was just struck by God's creation and how, as he says, how he was in awe about God's creation. Anybody else, any last takers? We want to actually grow in this, in the fear of the Lord. Who had to do something? Yes, Dirk. Amen. Dirk was very anxious about something, took it to the Lord, I would presume, and the Lord just gave him what I would presume to be a supernatural peace. Just little nuggets of how this can become real in our lives. Let's look at the conditions. I don't like the word conditions. As an ex-lawyer, I don't like that, but it works. So let's look at the conditions to the fear of the Lord, because ultimately that's what we want. Let's jump right into that. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, like we cried out to the Lord in worship, and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her like silver, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. So let's go back and read through that again. It starts off by saying, if you do these certain things, if you have them in your life, guess what? You are ultimately also going to grow in the fear of the Lord. I think we've made this pretty clear. Most people here said, yes, I actually want to grow in this. Not only to have the promises, but yes, I would love some of the promises as well. But if you carry the fear of the Lord, you are also a person that actually knows God. And we want to be a people that know God. You remember that scripture that says, let the rich man not boast in his riches, the strong man not in his strength, the wise man not in his wisdom, but he who boasts in this, that he knows and understands God. Who wants to at the end of their life say, I know and understand God? It will not be a full knowing, but it will be a pretty good one. Imagine that. Not saying I'm the richest, I'm the strongest, or I'm the wisest out there, but I know and understand God. I got to know and understand God in my life. That's a pretty good legacy to leave as well, if your kids will listen to you. My son, if you receive my word. So he starts off again with my son. You see the identity. He speaks to him and say, my son. So we know already in close proximity, we know how we are seen here. As I said to Mila, how do you see me? Are you scared? And she said, no, I was taken aback. And then in another conversation, I said to Frida, who don't you see me? How do you think I see you? And she says a whole lot of positive things as a 12-year-old would do. And then I'm like, do you know what really struck me with my dad? And she's like, no, no, tell her the story. So my dad, when he got to his home onto the stoop, my mom and dad were separated. So I would get to his house now and again. So when I get onto the stoop, there was a treddy door, but my security gate. And so you'll get to the gate at the front door, and he'll have a seat in the living room that about 7 or so meters far from that, you can see directly onto the front stoop. And so I can clearly remember the day when I walked up the stoop, so I was visiting him, and I got to the door. And he was probably watching TV, and he looked up, and how his face lit up when he saw me. The reaction on his face when he saw me forever stayed with me. It was just, I have no idea. I did not cognitively think about that moment, but I remember the picture when my dad looked up and he saw me, what happened to his face. And we need that from God. We need to know what his face looks like when he looks up and he sees you. That's what we need. So I explained this to Frida. She's like, okay, cool. That's the thing about caught and not taught. I can't give that to her. I can't give it even to you. I can try to explain it. Well, there's moments with God where he looks up and you're at the door and his face lights up. It's like, yay, hello, welcome. And he opens up the door. And we need that with God. And I believe the fear of the Lord is embedded in that place. So he says, my son, you can go back to the previous one. Thanks. We're not going to do the Amplified tonight. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Again, treasure. It speaks of the word of God. Is that a treasure? Is it something you value? Or do I value the stuff in my house or the stuff in my car or the stuff at work? Do I value those things more than I do the commands of God? Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. I listened to a Derek Prince sermon on this a while back, and it's so beautiful how he said, and obviously being Afrikaans, I don't know all the big English words, but he says, if you incline your ear, you go like this. Who's ever had somebody whisper to you, and you had to incline your ear? Anybody like that? There's a couple of soft talkers in church, so we know how to incline our ears to them. But yeah. Thank you, Anne. So when you chat to Annalise, you incline your ear. It's like with God. But just the same posture as we have with the Lord, we go in humility to Annalise. And so the moment you incline your ear, you also need to bow down a slight bit. Again, it speaks of childlike humility. If this is what my words mean to you, you bow down and you incline. You come closer. Is this how we seek out the Lord? Is this how we seek out His truth and His words? Do we incline our ear and do we bow our knees slight bit so that we can hear the whisper of truth? We can hear the whisper of love and faithfulness again. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. So many people will send me YouTube nonsense or send me something on to decide, is this God or is it not God? Is this? If we cry out for discernment, guess what we are going to get? We're going to get discernment. But if you're not going to cry out for discernment in this age, guess what you are going to get? Deceived. So you can either cry, Jesus! Wys my die waarheid. Become real about what is real. And especially with the nonsense going through this age and the things that people now escalate and the filth they throw at our children. If we don't cry as a church for discernment, guess what? We're going to get deceived. And it's not my job, per se, alone, to cry out for us, by the way. It's not the elders' job. It is your job to cry out for God so that your children will have safety, security, and that they will have truth. And so, anyway, we cry out for discernment. This is going to take too long. We cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you don't understand something, speak up. Hey, boys, speak up. Praat met jou pa. Say, Dad, Father God, I don't understand these things in our economy. Lord, I don't understand the things in our country. Lord, I don't understand the things in the church. Lord, I don't understand the things in your word. Talk to me. Please speak to me. You see, this guy is, he's redelijk ernstig. God wants us to be pretty clear of what we want. If you're like, fear of God, it'll be nice. with sprinkles on a cone and not a cup, then you're not going to get it. But if you really, but if you really take your shit, and if you really realize that this is life and death, not only for you, but those that you love and that you lead, if this is life and death for those that you disciple, if this is life and death for your kids, you will rip your shirt off and you'll cry to God, say, Lord, help us. We're in a dark, dark world. God, we need your light. Lord, come, show us your truth. We want to live by the fear of God. This is, I believe, what he is sketching for us. And apply your hearts to understanding. Now that apply, if you go look that up, the definition there is to rub in. To rub it in. To soak something. If you buy something that's really good and you marinate it, and it's a nice and healthy marinade. I love marinade. Anyway, marinades and sauces are really good. But anyway, if it's a nice and healthy marinade, you marinate it. It soaks. It rubs in. That is what the word needs to do. You cannot listen to 3 sermons on the fear of man and think it's going to change your life. You need to say, Lord, give me this clean truth. Lord, give me all the scriptures I can get. Lord, give me that three sermons as well. And then we need to rub it in. We need to soak our hearts. We need to soak our lives. And we need to make sure this becomes part of who we are. And then we are on the right way. And lift up your voice and seek her as silver. Look, I'm not going to stand too long on this, but this is pretty obvious. If we seek the Lord's wisdom, if we seek the fear of the Lord as we seek money, we would be really strong in the spirit. If you wanted to pay, if you seek money and pay bills the way we do in our culture, and you could put an same time and effort into seeking God and seeking His face and His truth, man, you're going to be a freaking giant in the spirit. And I'm just going to leave it at that, but I believe that's what the Lord calls us to do. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, seek it like silver, and then again, search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand and fear the Lord. Then you will understand and fear the Lord. So if we really want this, there are a couple of conditions. It's very easy to do, but it will take what? It will take time. You know what the fear of the Lord, you can go to the next slide, and then the next one, if you don't mind. There you go. What the fear of the Lord for me is as well, the fear of the Lord or the fear of God looks like this. Everyone else and everything else can wait. Show me somebody that really walks in the fear of God, concerning their quiet times, concerning their money, concerning their lives and their talents and their everything. Show me somebody that really fears God and that comes from intimacy, not a law. I'm not speaking of dead religion. I'm speaking of life-giving New Testament living. Everyone else and everything else can wait when God speaks or where God has called you. If God says no, it's no. If God says now, it's now. But it's from that dad whose face you saw when he saw you. It's from that place. It's not from that foreign God that the guy in church talks about that you don't know. Because that's never going to work. That's dead. But it's from that encounter, God, from I know this voice and I will follow it at the cost of my life. I will follow it if it costs me money. I will follow it if it costs me opportunities. I will follow him and I will follow his voice if it costs me doors closing upon me, because I want eternity and I want the treasure. And so we will have it if we honestly are really up for the pursuit, because it's hidden, it's valuable, and it costs you a pursuit to have the fear of God. Now, we can't talk about the fear of God and not about Jesus, so we'll quickly do that. The question will beckon of many people out there. Isn't this an Old Testament topic? Isn't this more like Old Covenant type of things? No, in fact, it's pretty much part of Jesus' life and lifestyle. Did Jesus walk in the fear of the Lord? Anybody, yes or no? Did Jesus walk in the fear of the Lord? He was God himself, but did he walk in the fear of God? Did he teach the fear of God? Yes, indeed, he did. Let's look at Matthew 10:27. To 39, but we're not going to do everything. Let's just do the first part. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. I'm going to read this again. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. This will tread upon the fear of man. which we'll look at next week. Then it goes on to say, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's pretty hardcore. I know, sorry, but that's scriptural. But we need to share it. But rather fear him, that's God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He loves you and he knows you. Remember, that's the foundation. He loves you, knows you, sees you. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more of more value than many sparrows. I can't go on to the next two sections because it's just too much. But Jesus there is speaking and he is just saying, make God's will your priority. And I want to say this to you, church. We need to make God's will in all things, even in the minute small moments, because that is good practice for the big moments. Make God's will your highest priority. Not what is, Orphie said it beautifully, not what is necessarily good for me and comfortable for me alone, or good for God and for me, and then I'll do it. No, what is good for God, because that is true fear of the Lord. It's to make sure that His will is my priority. So a question in my heart is, does my obedience echo my love and fear of God? You can put it the other way around as well. Don't have time for this, but told the testimony to somebody the other day. Well, there's a number of testimonies. But at a stage, we were without finance. I've told it in church before. We needed to go to a wedding in Joburg. We didn't have money, and the Lord said to us from the beginning, you're not going to ask man. You ask the head, not the hand. So that's just a good principle, by the way, to have. You ask the head, that is Jesus. You don't ask people, you ask the hand. And he, if it is his will provide. So we didn't ask for money. We didn't borrow money, because that's another thing the Lord said to us. And I'm like, Lord, how are we going to get to this wedding? It's a family wedding. You have to be there. And he said, sell your car. And so I can see a couple of frowns, because culturally and even, you know, in many ways, this is frowned upon. But the Lord says, sell your car, buy tickets, and go to the wedding. And so Edna and I chatted about it. We were accountable. We were accountable with Heine and with somebody else, I think. And so everybody heard yes, even though everybody's like, what the? And then we sold our car, got the tickets, went to the wedding. And we came back. And then we had a little bit left, and I'm like, Lord, what do I buy with this? And the Lord said, live off the money. And so a week and a half pursued, and anyway, we didn't ask for it, but somebody had a vision from God, and they decided to buy us a car. And so God replaced our car. That's not the story. When I tell the story, we laugh at it now, and we're like, people are going like, wow. But then I thought about it again in telling the testimony. Guess what? It is funny when we tell the story now, you sold your car to go to a wedding. Why is that funny? If it is truly the fear of God, I had no choice. I said this in love, but I actually didn't have much of a choice. So we make light of these things even sometimes. I realize in my own heart, but I'm like, I didn't have a choice. Because that is the way in which I want to follow the Lord. Yes, in accountability and in wisdom, in line with the word. But I want to follow him when he asks me to do things that the culture might think is stupid or unwise. I want to do that because I fear his name. We are again, now we're doing something at our home that we were accountable about, but it's placing us under immense pressure. And yesterday and the day before, I was thinking like, maybe I made a mistake. And then I think it was this morning, the Lord's like, didn't I tell you to do it? And I'm like, oh yes. Weren't you accountable about it? I'm like, oh, yes. And all of a sudden, like Dirk said, the peace came back. That's the beauty. You need to be childlike and you need to make sure that you follow hard after the Lord. But I'm going to state this question to you now. Does your obedience echo your love and fear of the Lord? Or does the love that you have and the fear of the Lord carry an absolute obedience to the Lord? And then we're going to end off with 1 minute left. We now know that Jesus carried the fear of the Lord. He taught on the fear of the Lord, and he lived that in the new covenant. And now, if you put the Trinity all together, we can look at Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the fear of the Lord. And then realize that in Isaiah, it was already prophesied exactly what will come. And this is beautiful, is that It was prophesied in Isaiah about Jesus, and we know already that the Holy Spirit that Jesus had, is that the same or is it another version? Was that another version of the Holy Spirit that you have? No, it's exactly the same. You carry the fullness of the Spirit upon your life as well. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now that is all about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that is Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So what is the Holy Spirit also? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Was that Holy Spirit upon Jesus? Yes. Is that Holy Spirit upon you when you believe in Jesus? Yes. If you find it difficult to understand the fear of the Lord, or find it difficult to think, to walk in these ways of the fear of the Lord, guess what? It's not difficult at all. For the Spirit that is upon you is also the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord is upon you. I believe walking in the fear of the Lord is very simply also just walking and living by the Spirit of God. Surrender. If I walk by the Spirit of God, I am walking in the fear of God, because I am not what? Doing my own thing. I'm not building my own kingdom. I'm heeding to His voice. I'm being intimate with Him. I'm listening. I'm heeding. And I'm doing exactly what Jesus did. Doing what the Father did. Saying what the Father said. And so I believe Scripture shows us and then helps us and empowers us to be such a people. Let's again read from verse 2 quickly. The Spirit, yes, you can go to the previous one. We're going to get to that one now. Thank you. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So the Holy Spirit on you is what? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. We should look different like as the rest of the world, because we are carrying His Spirit. The Spirit of counsel and might. You will be able to give good counsel and carry great strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then it says about Jesus, His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Imagine, that's why it's a treasure, because Jesus says, this is delightful, this is good. Jesus said about this, it is good. How much more can we say, Lord, give us that, for it is good. And He shall not judge by the sight of His eyes, nor decide by the hearing of His ears. What do we do in our culture? What do? We judge by the sight of our eyes and what we hear. That's primarily what we do. That's a big thing in our culture, and it's a big thing in our church culture as well. We need to be careful, because Christ said, no, I do not come to judge as those with carnal mindsets. I come with wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, the fear, the reverential fear of the Lord. And I judge not with what I see, and I judge not with what I hear. And so, out of that place, I believe we can pray that. Will you stand with me? Next week, we'll continue with the fear of man, actually the topic I was heading for, and also the blessings. Lecrae, you can fly that one. Just two quick ones before we pray. The fear, we fear circumstances so much because we fear God so little. And I know that's not you, that's for people out there that need to hear the message. But sometimes we fear circumstances and things of this world and the country and the economy, and we fear many other things. But if we just have the fear of God like a child on the safety of his father's lap or on his shoulders, then we will fear so much less. And then an older guy, Charles Spurgeon, said, "He who fears God has nothing else to fear. He who fears God has nothing else to fear." I think that's a pretty, pretty good thing. I'm going to end off and let's pray. I want to pray the following over you. And that is Isaiah 11. In our pursuit of being a people of the fear of the Lord, we know the conditions. We know now how. We know the Lord says He will teach us. We know that we need to take this and hunt it down like a treasure. We need to go on a pursuit, and it's an individual task to us all. But we also have help from the Holy Spirit, the same that was on Christ. And so I want to pray that was prayed over Christ, I know we can scripturally and theologically also pray it over us. So I'm going to pray it. If you just want to say no in your spirit to it, if you don't want to receive it, just say, Lord, I don't receive it. But as for the rest, you're receiving this tonight. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. My delight is and will be in the fear of the Lord. And I will not judge by the sight of my eyes, nor decide by the hearing of my ears. And then, Lord, we want to add, Lord, may you help us to discern by your Spirit and discern well. And we thank you for that, Lord. May the Spirit that rested upon that sevenfold Spirit of the Holy Spirit rest upon all of us, Lord, to be a people of the fear of the Lord. In a good, light way, not in a staunch, religious, dead way, but in a light, God-giving, life-giving way. Maybe just before we close, if you need to see how God sees you in this time to come, to unlock this again in your life, the fear of the Lord, if you need that encounter to see His eyes about you, His words about you, if you need a love encounter, if you need a love encounter again, because you can hear all the theology, you can hear all the head knowledge about this topic, but it's not resonated down in your heart yet. If you need a love encounter again with the Father, just raise your hand, and we can just ask that He gives you a love, nice and high, like you're desperate for Him and for His wills. Thank you, Father God, for all these hands, Father God. Thank you that we can come as children to you and say, Lord, we yearn for a love encounter with you, not just one, but many love encounters, Lord. Revelation that can lead to an easy reverence and awe afresh of who you are. And Lord, all plans of the enemy to steal that from your people, to make us feel illegitimate, Lord, we cancel. And we declare, thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of God, and may we have those moments of love like, yes, that was it. Thank you, God. You reached down and you touched me. You reached down and I saw that. You reached down and love upon me. And so, Lord, out of that, we pray that we will be a people that by your Spirit and grace carry the fear of the Lord in Jesus' name. Not only us, but our children as well. In Jesus' name, amen.